years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hand stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of a blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, "Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free." One day he touched a crippled man, and he made him walk again. Then the master saw with pleasure he had labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I once was bound by sin, but since the master came, oh, praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free.
God. Boy, I'm telling you, I've never forgotten the day when I got touched by the hand of God. When he came into my heart, saved my soul, gave me a new direction. You say, "Oh, preacher, where did it happen?" Right there. Right there. When I came forward some 27 years ago and got the touch of God. Salvation. Oh, what an exciting. Well, listen, it's been exciting since that day. I lived for 23 years for the devil, in sin, and you know where it got me? Nowhere. You know what I have to show for it? A lot of hurt. That's all I have to show for it. But since that day that I got saved, I have nothing but good things to show for what Christ has done. Well, it's been a good day, folks. People have been saved and baptized throughout the services today. It's been a profitable day, and I hope that you've had a good afternoon with your family. I hope you've come prepared tonight as we open the Word of God up tonight and to learn something. So take your Bible, turn with me if you would to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Now, we detoured from our theme last year. I talked to you a little bit about missions, about the church, and I'm going to get back on track with our theme of character under construction. And I want to talk to you tonight about the greatest character quality in Christianity. It is the one character trait that is demanded by God, that is required by God. He said that every born-again believer, he said, "I require it of them. I demand it from their life." It's the greatest character quality in Christianity. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Would you stand with me? Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Now, I have some other folks on the floor tonight that are going to help me with some of the reading of the Scripture. But I'm going to read Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. Well, we could stop right there, couldn't we? Know that the Lord thy God, He is God. Listen to this now. The faithful God. He's not only our God, He's the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. But I want you to notice there, underline the phrase, the faithful God. Now, if you want to, you can turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe Brother Koenig is going to help us right here, Brother Combs. Right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 9. Now, we just read just a moment ago, it said, He is our God, He is the faithful God. Now, let's look at the consistency of it in Scripture. Brother Koenig?
God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, look at it again now. God is faithful, by whom ye were called. Now, it sounds like our faithful God is calling us to do the same thing. It sounds like now that not only is He the faithful God, but He's saying now, He says, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the way, who also was faithful. So when God said, I'm the faithful God, my Son's a faithful is faithful and was faithful, He said, I'm calling you to be faithful as well. All right, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Back over here with Brother Warito. 1 Corinthians 4, you ought to be close there. Brother Jaime, verse number 2.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
All right, now did you notice there, it is the only requirement here in this verse. God said it is required in stewards. It is the greatest character trait, and it's the only character trait that God says, I require it. I demand it of believers. And then back over here, Brother Hallmark, Brother O, Revelation 2:10. I read this last week to you, Revelation 2:10, if you'll turn there. About the church at Smyrna. Remember Smyrna? And remember, this was the church that not one negative thing was said about this church. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. Brother Hallmark?
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Now, did you notice He didn't say, I expect temporary faithfulness? Did you notice He didn't say, I expect 20 years of faithfulness and you'll be all right? He said, be thou faithful unto death. He said, I want faithfulness from a child of God from beginning to end. From the very start to the very end. And then I want to read one more verse, Psalm chapter 12. Turn over there, Psalm 12. And verse number 1. I want you to notice what David says. First word in the verse, he says, help! Help! He said, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. You know what he's crying out help for? Help us, Lord! Where are all the faithful people? Where have all the faithful believers gone? He said, Lord God, we need help. We need people who will be faithful unto death. And I want to speak to you tonight, church, about the greatest character quality in Christianity, and it's none other than that of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Father, bless us now as we enter into this service. Spirit of God, would you do your work, and we'll give all the glory to you and praise you for the outcome in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Several weeks ago, Mrs. Taft's sister passed away, and myself and several other of our folks attended the funeral. And there at the funeral, I heard the gentleman that was speaking at the funeral. He told a little story that really impressed me, and it's been on my mind ever since I heard it. He told the story of a man by the name of Charles Plum, who was a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. He flew jets in Vietnam. He flew fighter planes in Vietnam. He had flown 75 successful combat missions without any problems. But on his 76th mission, as he was flying his mission there in Vietnam during the Vietnam War, Charles Plum was hit by a surface-to-air missile. He ejected and parachuted down into the jungles there in Vietnam, where he was captured by the North Vietnamese, and there he served in prison there for 6 years as a POW. One day, his wife and him were sitting in a restaurant. Of course, you know, the POWs were released. He comes back to the States, and him and his wife were sitting in a restaurant one day, and he noticed a man kept looking at him, and finally the man got up and came over there where they were, and he says, "Excuse me," he said, "is your name Plum?" And he said, "Well, yes." He said, "Did you fly fighter pilot jets off the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk during the Vietnam War?" He said, "Well, yes." He said, "Did you get shot down?" He said, "Well, yes, I did." He said, "Well, wait a minute. Now, how did you know all of this?" He said, "I'm the guy that packed your parachute." It took Mr. Plum just a moment. It took him back for just a second. And the fighter pilot, the fighter pilot, Charles Plum, looked at this man, just an ordinary sailor, and he pumped his fist. He said, "It worked, didn't it?" You see, what I'm saying to you, Charles Plum never forgot that day. He never forgot that sailor. He told the story, and he said that many times he probably passed this sailor on the ship and never looked at him or talked to him because he was of a lesser grade or lesser quality of individual on that ship. And he just looked at him as a common sailor. Never looked at him as a man that might be packing his parachute. You see, what I'm saying to you, what if this man who packed Charles Plum's parachute, I wonder if he had decided not to be faithful to the folding pattern or to the packing techniques. If he had decided to be unfaithful, Charles Plum would have died that day when he ejected out of his fighter plane. What if this man would have decided to fudge a little bit and not go through the process and fudged a little bit on the time that it took because he had some more important things to do than pack a stinking parachute? What if he had fudged? I tell you what had happened. Charles Plum would have died that day when he ejected. What if this man would have decided to be unfaithful? Just this one time. What if he had decided not to do his job just this one time? Charles Plum would have died in Vietnam and would have left a family back here in the States very, very sad. You see, that man that packed that parachute didn't realize that he was affecting a great number of people. Thank God he was faithful to pack that parachute that day. You see, thank God for people who are serious about their job. Thank God for people, even in the secular world, you know what they do? They reward faithfulness. When it comes time for raises, you know who they look for? The faithful people. When it comes time for promotions, you know who they're looking for? The faithful people. You see, even the secular world realizes the importance of faithfulness. You know, in our studies of character, several weeks ago, I preached on the subject about the foundation of character and integrity being that built upon our faith, built upon the foundation of what we believe. But I want to say to you tonight that the true display of our love for Jesus Christ and our love for our God is seen in our faithfulness. It's seen in our faithfulness. Can I say to you tonight, church, that faithfulness is a gift that a married couple gives to each other when they say, "I do," "I will," and they make those vows when they put that ring on their finger, they're saying, "I am yours forever. I am yours till death do us part." What they're saying is, I will be faithful even unto death. Faithfulness is a gift that a married couple gives to each other as proof of their unending love. Can I say that faithfulness is what a soldier commits to when he signs up and he goes into the military and he goes through the training. A soldier commits to his country when he enlists, knowing that it could result in his life. It could result in his death. Faithfulness is what a couple dedicates themselves to when they bring a child into this world. What I'm saying to his faithfulness is such a great quality. It spreads all through every area of our life. I also want to say to you tonight, church, that faithfulness is what God expects from every believer that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The least that we can do is give him our faithfulness and be faithful to the things of God. You see, God has proved to us that he can be trusted. He has provided for us salvation, number one. He's provided for us an enjoyment of the Christian life. Hey, anybody here happy about being saved? Hey, the Christian life, it's the best life on earth. The only way that you can participate in it is being born again. God provided that for us. He provided salvation. Hey, let me tell you something else he provided. He provided prayer as a means of communication. You know, without prayer, you have no communication with God. He provides prayer as a means of communication. He provides his word as instructions for our lives. Listen, could you imagine God says, as it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful? You say, okay, Lord, what is it? He said, well, I'm not going to show you that. I'm going to keep my word to me, for me, and you'll just have to figure it out. No, you know what he does? He gives us an entire Bible that helps us to understand what faithfulness is and how to live the Christian life. Prayer as a means of communication. His word as instructions for our lives. Hey, let me tell you something else he provides. He provides love so that we can love our spouse, so that we can love our children, so that we can love other people. And then once it's all said and done and death comes, he provides heaven for eternity once life is over. Hey, God is providing all of these things. The least that we can do is be faithful. The least that we can do is be consistent about the things of God in our lives. You see, God wants the believer to be faithful. He wants the believer to be reliable. He wants the believer to be dependable, true, loyal, and trustworthy. Hey, he wants you to keep going. He wants you to stay at it. Listen to me. He wants you not to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. Listen to me. You know where we'd be tonight if Jesus would have gotten halfway up Golgotha and said, you know what? This ain't worth it. Why would I die for sinners who I know aren't even going to serve me? Why would I walk up Golgotha's hill and die on a cross and suffer for them when I know there's a bunch of them that could care less? What if he'd have stopped? What if he decided, you know what, I'm not going to be faithful to the cross? You know where we would be today, folks? Lost without God and on our way to hell if Jesus would have been unfaithful. I want to say to you tonight, you say, preacher, it's in our day and time, there's just so many things that I didn't anticipate. Listen to me, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, the thing about it is that due season is coming someday. That due season and the reaping time is coming. But did you notice the qualifications for the reaping and the due season was? If we faint not. Go down the highway. You can get out here on 30, you drive down the highway. You ever noticed on the highway there's all kinds of things? You'll see an old car over here that's broke down. They got their hood up and steam's coming out. You look over there and you think, man, Lord, bless their heart. That's our term for I've got to keep going. Bless their heart. Why don't you stop and help somebody? Remember, I'm convinced, folks, if God speaks to you and says you need to stop and help them, you go on, get ready, you're going to be on the side of the road here shortly. But you see people over here that are broken down. It's not that they don't want to get back on the highway. It's not that they don't want to get back in serving God. It's not that they don't want to get back in being faithful. It's just they're kind of clunked out on them. They're just kind of sitting on the road. Steam's coming up. Problems. Going down a little bit further, you'll see another car sitting over here that caught on fire and it's burned to a crisp. They're not getting on the highway no more. That car's done. You see, I noticed that in serving God, you'll see people over here that have problems and they've had to pull over off the highway. Then you go down a little bit further and you see a bunch of people that's for whatever reason, they quit and just, I hate to use the word burnout, because I believe the biblical terminology is burn up for God, not burn out. But you'll see people over here they're not going to get on the highway anymore. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, tonight is we're to be faithful, and the key is if we faint not. I heard an old preacher say one time that Christianity is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. You see, here's what we think. We think if a person's faithful for a period of time, then they're considered a faithful Christian. That's not biblical. You see, the scripture says we're to be faithful unto death from beginning to ending. You see, the thing about it is, I may be serving today, and some of God's people may be serving today, but let's check back in 10 years and see if you're still serving. Hey, there's some people that were witnesses and soul winners. You say, preach, I'm a soul winner today. Let's check back in 10 years and see if you still are. You see, there were some people that used to be separated from the world. They said, oh man, preacher, you know what? I believe I'm against sin. I'm against the world. And they separated themselves from the world. You say, I'm a separated believer. Wonderful. Let's check back in 10 years and see if you still are. Amen. You see, faithfulness is a lifetime, my friend. It's not just a period of time within your lifetime. It's a lifetime of faithfulness. And God said it's required. It's required. Did you notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2 that God did not say that it's required for a person to have a dynamic personality? Didn't say that it was required that a person have a charismatic personality? He didn't say that it was required that a person have an education and have degrees on the wall? He didn't say that it was required that somebody had a magnetic lifestyle. What he did say, it was required that a man be found faithful. Listen to me, because everybody can be this. Everybody. Everybody can be this. Not everybody's athletic. Not everybody is educated. Not everybody has a dynamic personality. But you listen to me, everybody can be faithful. Everybody can. Listen, faithfulness will get the job done when talent won't. Faithfulness will get it done when talent won't. Let me tell you a quick story. You've heard me tell this before. When I was a junior in high school, we moved from Jackson, Mississippi, up to Greenville, Mississippi, right on the Mississippi River. And when we got there, I had played athletics in school all my life. And so when we went up there, we went into the athletic director's office, and my dad said, hey, my son would like to sign up to get in the athletic program. So help me, here's what the athletic director told me. He said, well, we've already got our players. And so my dad said, well, I mean, he's played, and you can call back down there, and he started this and this and this. And so I was kind of focusing on baseball, and he said, okay, well, that's fine. We'll just let football go. We'll let these other. He said, go ahead and sign him up for the baseball team. He said, we've already got our players. So, of course, my dad being the gentleman that he is, said, listen, sir. Now, he wasn't saved at this time. He got saved later. But after a few choice words to the athletic director, and he said, well, I tell you what, just tell him to come on out, and he can try out with the other 100-and-something people that want to try out. Now, listen, long story short, I went out to the tryouts. And there were probably 100 guys out there. And some of them, Brother Green, had more talent than I had. But you know the problem was? The problem was they were loafers. And as the coaching staff got out there each day, I don't know if they still do this, it probably hurt somebody's feelings these days, but they actually made a cut. Okay? You went out, you practiced, and they actually cut you in those days. You say, when was that? Oh, back in the 30s and 40s. I'm just kidding. Hey, it was back in the 70s, and they actually cut you from the team. Hey, I grew up in the day where not everybody got a trophy. Can't you see I'm warped? That's the reason I am like I am. I didn't get a trophy. You say, what place you finished last? But they didn't give me a trophy. Long story short, after the final cut, I went up there and checked the cut list. I made the 25-man roster out of 100 guys are out there. And listen, some of them got cut. They had more talent, but they didn't want to do the work to make the team. So you know what? They ended up down here doing whatever. I don't know what they did after school. And the thing about it is I always loved to, when we went to games and stuff, our athletic director, he would come and sit in the stands. I always liked when I got out there, hey, and not only did I make the team, I actually got to start. And I always loved to get in the batters in the on-deck circle and look up there at our athletic director. He was a nice guy. He was just, hey, all I'm saying is, you know what, everybody can be faithful. And faithfulness will get the job done when talent won't. Now, I want to give you a couple things to think about here tonight. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 25. Here's what I want to say first of all. First of all, number one, be faithful with what you have. You cannot be faithful with something you do not have. You be faithful with what you have. All right, turn to Matthew 25. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Oh, by the way, can I go ahead and throw something else in here? You cannot be faithful, neither does God expect you to be faithful with what someone else has. Okay? You be faithful with what you have, what God has given you. Now, I want you to notice the principle here in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them their goods. Is that what your Bible says? No, it said his goods. You see, whatever he is delivering unto them, it wasn't even theirs. It was his. And he delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and unto another 1, to every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now listen, we don't have time to go there, but there's a principle here: to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, there's a principle here, but listen, God distributed to everyone as and according to their several ability. When you look around here, listen, this is not critical. Listen to me. There are 5-talent Christians and 2-talent Christians and 1-talent Christian. And you know who determines that? God does. Hey, if you're a 1-talent Christian, be the best 1-talent Christian you can be. Don't go take what you've got because you can't meet up to a 5-talent person and go bury it in the sand and say, you know what, I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes. We're going to find out what he said about somebody like that. Then, look at verse 16. Then he that hath received 5 talents went and traded, and the same made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. To stop. Did they think for 1 minute that the master was going to give them something and not come back and get it? No, not for 1 second. So let me ask you this. Did they know he was coming back? Yes, they did. Because he gave to them and he says, listen, here's 5, here's 2, here's 1. And so he left. But they knew he was coming back. They knew he was coming back. And may I remind you, Christian, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. You know what he's coming back for, Brother Bob? He's coming back for the talents. You say, but Lord, I'm sorry. I was only a 1-talent Christian. He says, okay, well, just what'd you do with it? Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't meet up to old brother 5-talent here. I was only a 2-talent. He said, fine, that's what I gave you. What'd you do with it? Hey, I'm just saying, be faithful with what you have. Look at verse 20. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good. Oh, look at here. And faithful servant. You know what he did? He took what he had, and he was faithful with what he had. He had 5 talents. And so he took the 5 talents and was faithful with them. Now listen to what happened here. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now we know the story goes on. The man with 2 talents got the same accommodation. Is that right? Even though he only produced 2 more, he still got a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because he was faithful with what he had. He only had two. He was faithful with those two talents. Then you come to the old buzzard with one. And listen, here's what happens. We get the one talent, and here's what he does. He gets his one talent, he looks at old boy with five talents. Man, he's got all the charisma. No wonder he can do that. No wonder he can make five talents. Lord, this is not fair. I don't have the charisma that he has. I don't have the abilities that he has. And then he looked over his left hand and he saw the two-talent guy. And he said, Lord, now listen, I'm a little closer to him. He don't have much on me. But I'm a little closer to him. But still, I can't do what he does. The thing is, when the master came back, he didn't expect him to do what the five-talent guy did. He didn't expect him to do what the two-talent guy did. He said, listen, I gave you one. That's what I'm expecting from you. That's all I'm expecting of you is just be faithful, sir, with what you have. God distributed according to their ability. By the way, did you notice in the story, God did not put a value on their return? He didn't say, now listen, I'm giving you five talents. When I come back, you better have ten. He came over here to the guy with two, and he gave the guy two. Listen, the Lord never said, when I come back, you better have four. And he didn't come to the guy with one and say, listen, I'm giving you one, bless God. When I come back, you better have me two. Did you notice when he gave out the talents, he never gave them a value? He just said, listen, here's five, here's two, have one, here's one. Never gave them a value. You see, God did expect, though, each of them to do something because he was coming back. He expected them to do something. Each were told that he was going to return. And then listen now, the basis of reckoning and that when the master came back, the basis of their reckoning was on faithfulness. It was on faithfulness with what they did or did not do with that talent. Be faithful with what you've got. That well done was for faithfulness from the time the master left till he got back. Is that right? From the time he left till the time he got back, he told them, be faithful. Be faithful. The guy with five did. The guy with the two did. You know, the guy with one, guess what accommodation he got when he got back? Thou wicked servant. And the talent was taken from him and given to who? The five-talent guy. The five-talent guy. But folks, listen. Churches are made up of all types of people. You just got to determine where you are and what you are. You say, what are you, preacher? I don't know, probably somewhere between two and one. But you know what? If I consider that's where I am, I'm going to be the best one and a half talent person I can be. That's what I'm going to do. You just have to determine where you are and be the best that you can be with what you've got. Let me give you a couple of things to think about. First of all, be faithful to your spouse from start to finish. Be faithful to your spouse from start to finish. I read a story some time ago about a correspondent in South Africa. He said he was driving down the road and he noticed in the road there, a dead dove in the road. And he noticed there was another dove sitting right next to it. And if you don't know anything about doves, doves are mates for life. And he noticed the dead dove laying in the road and there was a live dove. And so he kind of, you know, you kind of approach it and he started kind of honk the horn and flash the lights and, you know, come on, doves. But it wouldn't move. So he got up there and stopped and honked the horn. The dove wouldn't move. So he got out of the car and he went and tried to shoo the dove off. Well, the dove would fly off and then just circle back around and come right back down to the dove in the road. He thought, man, come on, dove, I got to get going. So he reached out there and actually got the dove and he went over to the side of the road and he threw the dove up in the air, and he says, there, that'll take care of that. On his way back to his car, he saw something out of his peripheral vision. The dove circled back and came right back to the other dead dove in the road. So he thought, man, alive. So he went down there and got the dove, and he put it in the car. He said, I'll take care of this. So he put the dove in the car, and he drove on down the road about a mile. He says, okay, now I'm going to just let this dove go and be done with it. So he threw the dove up. He noticed the dove went straight up in the air and circled back around and flew right back toward the direction he just came from. He thought, he'll never find it. So he went on about his business, and At the end of the day, he started back down the road to go home. When he came up on the area where the little dead dove was in the road, he got up a little bit closer, and as he saw through the windshield, there were now two dead doves in the road. You see, that dove refused to leave the side of its mate. And so it stayed there, and listen to me, it was faithful unto death. Unto death. Isn't it a shame that we've got creatures that don't even have a soul that are more faithful than human beings? Listen, can I say that faithfulness is not 23 and a half hours a day and 51 weeks out of the year? Faithfulness to our spouse is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. Let me tell you something. When I looked into the eyes of my wife at 18, and listen, I'm not advocating getting married at 18. All right? I did, but I'm not advocating that you do. And young people say, yes, the preacher got married at 18, so I can. Listen, you need to come talk to me, okay? But when I looked into the eyes of my wife at 18 years old, you know how unstable you still are at 18? But let me tell you something. Something happened to me in my soul. When I looked at her and said, I do, I will, till death do us part, I meant it. All I'm saying to you is I have been faithful to her for 33 years now. Be faithful to your spouse from start to finish. Next. Be faithful to your church from start to finish. Be faithful to your church from start to finish. Hey, by the way, can we take a poll? Anybody know of a perfect church we can go join? Anybody? Anybody know a perfect church? That's what I thought. There are none, folks. You know how I know that churches are imperfect? Because we're members of them. That's how I know they're imperfect. But be faithful to your church from start to finish. You know things are going to happen in churches. Don't leave. Stay put. Serve God. Can I say to you that church hoppers are unfaithful Christians and they're going to reap their reward later? You see, uprooting your family and children to change churches 6 or 8 times in 5 years is going to destroy your family. It's going to destroy them. And some of it already has destroyed. Be faithful to your church from start to finish. Next, be faithful to God's will from start to finish. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen now. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that verse is talking about? It's talking about faithfulness. That's what it's talking about. You will never find, ever find an unfaithful person that will ever find God's perfect will and get in it. Never will. But you show me somebody that's faithful, you know what they're seeking? They're seeking the will of God and get in it to live there forever. That's what they're getting in. That's what they desire. Those who seem to never find the will of God and live in it are those that are also unfaithful and undependable. You see, church, faithfulness is what will carry you through to the finish line. Anybody want to finish? I want to finish. I want to finish with a well done. You know what will get you there? Faithfulness will get you there. Faithfulness does not just consist of me being faithful more than I am unfaithful. Faithfulness means never being unfaithful. Listen, how would it go over if a husband looked at his wife and said, honey, I love you, and I just want you to know we've been married 54 years, and I've been faithful to you 53 and two-thirds of those years. The next thing he's going to see is, that's not going to fly. Faithfulness means never unfaithful. Never unfaithful. Can you imagine what God thinks of us today? All I'm saying to you, church, all he's asking us to do is be faithful with what you have. Here's the second thing. Be faithful to what God calls you to do. Be faithful to what God calls you to do. Go to Luke 16, if you would, quickly. Go to Luke 16. Be faithful to what God calls you to do. Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Did you notice these verses here? You know what God wants us to do? He just wants us to be faithful to what God's called us to do. God's given us things in life. It doesn't matter what the job is, just be faithful to it. You know, some people, they come and they think, well, preacher, you know, I've got a job in the church, but my job is just cleaning the furniture. My job is just coming, dusting and vacuuming stuff. My job's not really important. If you don't think that job's important, ask our custodial staff if I don't ride their case all the time. It is important. It is important. Listen, it's not your job to deem your job unimportant. No matter how insignificant a person may seem to think that their job is, you continue to be faithful. Listen to me. Charles Plum's life was in the hands of a simple sailor packing a parachute. Packing a parachute. That old boy, I can see him now pumping his fist. Yeah! It worked. I saved his life. You know, Charles Plum, when he got shot and ejected, I wonder if he thought for 1 second about the old boy that packed his parachute. Probably not. I wonder if any of us are thinking about anybody that's been faithful, and the reason that we're here is because of them. The reason that we're here today is because somebody has been faithful. You see, God only calls faithful people into ministry. You know where God found Paul and Barnabas? He found them where? Found them in the church. What were they doing in the church? They were being faithful. They were teaching. They were going about the Lord's business in the church. I've never found God to call anyone that wasn't faithful in the church. Never how. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." I'll just be honest with you. I don't believe God calls unfaithful people into places of spiritual responsibility. I don't believe it. He said, "Well, people, I know people that aren't it." Well, I do want to say this. I do believe that there are unfaithful people who steal those positions. But time will reveal their unfaithfulness. Yeah, there's people that steal those positions of responsibility, and they're not faithful. You know, the Apostle Paul was faithful even unto death. You can read about it in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. I tell you what, just run over there real quick. Run over there real quick. 2 Timothy, we're almost done. 2 Timothy 4. Okay, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, 7. Paul says, and by the way, Bible college students, here's a perfect outline. You ready? Here it is. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." There you go. Simple outline right there. And boy, you could preach on that many times. Be faithful to what God's called you to do. You think the Apostle Paul was faithful to what God called him to do? Hey, did you notice he said, "I have fought a good fight"? He was faithful to the fight. And boy, was he ever in some fights. Yeah. Yeah, he fought just about in every city he went to get the gospel out. So he was faithful to the fight. Did you notice there he was also faithful to the faith? He was also faithful to a body of doctrine. He was also faithful to the book and to the gospel. But you notice he also said, "I have finished." Faithful to the fight, faithful to the faith, faithful to the finish. Because you know what he wrote this just shortly? You know what Nero was going to do? He's going to put Paul's head on the chopping block. You know how he went to the chopping block, get his head cut off? He said, "I've been faithful." Remember I told you, Faithfulness will get the job done when talent won't. Talent won't. Let me give you a third one real quick, and that's this. I said, be faithful with what you have. Be faithful to what God's called you to do. And listen, be faithful because of the blessings. Be faithful because of the blessings. Did you notice there in Revelation, when Brother Bob read in Revelation 2:10, he said to the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death. And he said, and I will give thee a crown of life. I will give thee a crown of life. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Sometimes people will look out there and they say, why? God's just not fair. Why does that Christian seem to always be blessed? Hey, listen, I'm serving here. I'm doing this. Well, it may be that they're up on you in faithfulness. It may be that their faithfulness is genuine and they're serving because they actually love God. Because they actually are dedicated and consecrated to Him. Hey, listen, can I say to you that being faithful has blessings now? Teach your home consistency in service. Be consistent in faithfulness in your house. Listen to me, parents. A lack of consistency will destroy your children. Unfaithfulness at home will balloon to excess in your children, even to the point, listen to me, to where they will not even want to come to church or serve God. That's what unfaithfulness will do to you. You see, there's blessings now. There's answered prayer. Remember James chapter 5, verse number 16, says, hey, is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. For do what? To pray. Anoint him alone and pray over. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, I believe that's a faithful man, availeth much. Hey, let me tell you something. When I'm sick in the hospital, I'm not going to get on the phone and go down the road and call all the unfaithful people to come see me. You know who I'm looking for? I'm looking for faithful people. I'm looking for people that love church. I'm looking for people that love God. I'm looking for people that want to do what God's will is in their life. That's who I'm looking for. See, there's blessings now. Oh, can I remind you? There's also blessings later. Remember in Matthew 25, verse 21, remember what he said to the man with 5 talents and 2 talents? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Now, can you imagine the steward said, oh, glory to God, I'm going to be a ruler. When? When am I going to be a ruler? When is the day that I'm going to rule over somewhere? Now, remember, when you go back to Matthew 25, it starts off, the kingdom of heaven is likened to. Folks, there's a kingdom that's going to be set up on this earth one day. It's called the millennial kingdom of Christ. There he will rule for 1,000 years. And may I remind you, you know how he's going to staff that kingdom? He's going to staff that kingdom with faithful people. Say, but what about all those that aren't faithful? I don't know what's going to happen to them. But I promise you, there's nobody going to be in place of responsibility that wasn't faithful here. He's not going to put them in a place of faithfulness in the kingdom, because if they were unfaithful here, how can he trust them in the kingdom? Hey, but if you are faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. You say, preacher, hey, I'm just content being a floor sweeper. I'm just content. That's fine. I'm not. You might be, but I'm not. Because I want to finish doing my best. I want to finish doing my best. Well, what is it, church, that Proverbs 20 and verse number 6 says, but a faithful man who can find? Why does it seem to be so difficult for so many of God's people to be faithful? What causes unfaithfulness to Christ? What causes unfaithfulness in the home? What causes unfaithfulness to the things that God has trusted us with and to the will of God and to the blessings of God? What causes that? I think there's 3 things. Here they are. Write them down. I'm done. Number one, a lack of commitment to Jesus Christ. Just a flat-out lack of commitment. There's no commitment. Hey, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you. If you go to other countries and see what happens at an invitation when the altar's open, it is sickening. It's sickening to what we see happen in the United States. People come forward, I told you, down in Honduras, these people, when we was so, listen, I saw pastors with suits on and shirts and ties get down and on their knees on a dirt floor, and in one time I saw him lay down on his face with his shirt and tie on the dirt with his hands spread out like this, begging God. Where does that happen in the United States? No wonder we're in the condition. Why? Because you know what? We got too many unfaithful children of God. A lack of commitment. Number two, a lack of separation from the world. That'll do it. You know what? We love the world too much. We're too attached. You know what? We're trying to do something God said is impossible to do. You cannot serve God and mammon. But boy, you know what? For some reason, some of God's people think, no, I'm going to be the exception to that rule. There hasn't been one since the day it was spoken. Not one. Oh, you say, well, yeah, you can. I've got some illustration. How about old Demas? Demas tried it. And you know where he ended up? He ended up going back to the world. Can I remind you that Ananias and Sapphira tried it? You know where they ended up? In the grave. Nobody has ever succeeded in serving God and mammon. There has to be a commitment. There has to be a separation from the world. Listen, folks, I'm not talking about a partial separation. I'm talking about a clean-cut separation from the world. And then lastly, there's a lack of love for what God loves. You know the number one thing God loves? Souls. You know the number one thing God loves? People. You know the number one thing God loves? The church, which is made up of people and souls. A lack of love for what God loves. Let me remind you, and I'm done, 2 Timothy 2:2. Remember, as Paul was signing off, he told Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. He said, the same commit thou to faithful men, not unfaithful, who shall be able to teach others also. The greatest quality, the greatest character quality in all the Bible is one quality, and God said it is required of the believer, and that's the quality of faithfulness. Where's our faithfulness gone, folks? You say, oh, but preacher, I serve in the ministry. Wait a minute now. I said that faithfulness is not being faithful more than you are unfaithful. Faithfulness is not being unfaithful at all in any area. You say, oh, well, I can't live that way. You can if you walked in the Spirit, because He'll help you to fulfill that. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved. I've been born again. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm a Christian. No question about it. If the trumpets sound, I'm going up. All right? Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father,